So here we go, live on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for broadcasting us live worldwide. We have more people joining in over the conference call phone line, and welcome you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. It's Francis from Concord, California.
Good morning, Francis. Welcome to the call.
Carolyn from Anchorage, Alaska. Good morning, everybody.
Hello, Carla. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And it's Susan from Arizona.
Hello, Susan. Welcome. And I welcome the next call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Donnan in Santa Fe.
Is it Donna?
No, Donnan.
Donnan, welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right. Is this your first time, or have you been with us before?
It's my first time.
All right. A warm welcome to you.
Thank you.
All right.
That's a unique name. Where does that come from?
I can tell you it's coming from Santa Fe.
Oh, excuse me. My name from Santa Fe.
Where is your name from, Donnan?
Donnan is a Scottish surname, my grandmother's maiden name.
All right. All right, we're almost at the hour. It's 9:59, and those who join in online, thank you for being here all. We have a nice group of people here on the conference call phone line, and it's a blessing to have you all here.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
Good morning. This is
Good
Carrie.
Morning, Terry.
We're in
Morgan in California.
Good morning, Morgan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
All right. Thank you for being here. And
thank you for being here.
Who's that? Did I hear Joel?
Yeah, Joel in Chicago. Good
morning. Hi, Joel. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much. I'm wrapping up another one. You're right with
you. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Lisa Purcell.
Good morning, Lisa. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That's fantastic. Even better now you are here. Did I hear Don come in?
Hi, yeah, this is Don in Brexville. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
I do hear an echo. Let me locate it, and then I have to mute that line. There we go. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn. Pennsylvania, Marilyn.
Yeah, hi, Pennsylvania, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Hi, hi. Morning, Zoe, Sacramento. Good morning, everybody.
Zoe.
Morning. Hi, Zoe.
Good to hear you, Zoe.
Thank you. Good to hear you.
Thank you for being here. And back to you, Terry. Sorry, I walked from you. I heard you say you're in Phoenix, right?
Hi, this is Cecil of C6C from Seattle.
Good morning, Cecil. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And more people join in. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Aloha. Hi. This is Lyra from Kauai.
Aloha. Buenos dias.
Hi, it's Marilyn in Michigan.
Good afternoon, Marilyn. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, doing good. Thank you for being here.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Marilyn.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hello, Marilyn.
Hello.
Marilyn, your voice is sounding different today.
Really? Like what? Good or bad?
Well, I haven't drawn a conclusion yet.
Ah.
There's more than one Marilyn.
I met the Marilyn with the funny voice.
The one that's laughing.
Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Good morning.
So you guys are in Phoenix, correct, Wynn?
What's that?
You guys are in Phoenix.
Yes.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Terry.
Good morning, Terry.
Hi.
Good morning, Terry.
Morning.
Wynn, you're breathing in your mic.
I'm breathing in my mic?
Yes, you are.
Are you that hungry? No, but at least you're breathing. That's a good sign.
That's right.
It's a north wind.
I welcome those who just came into the conference phone line, and if you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is
Lisa
Dale
from Nashville,
New Jersey.
I heard somebody from Nashville and somebody from New Jersey.
Yes,
now,
Dale,
please state your
New
name
Jersey.
From Nashville.
Lisa from Nashville.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the call.
Hey, thanks.
And who do we have from New Jersey?
Gail.
Hey, Gail. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here.
Do we have some new people on the line?
I know that Donnan from Santa Fe is here for the very first time.
Uh-huh.
She has a beautiful Scottish name, and she sounds fantastic. That's all I can tell you at this point, Wynn.
Well, welcome her.
Thank you.
Welcome.
How did you find us?
Through a friend. I have been in love with Elohim for many, many years and was thrilled to find a group that worked with them specifically.
We're happy to help you.
And I've talked with Rob before through David Wilcox many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the caller who just came in. Please say your name and location.
Greetings. This is Michael, and I'm right here.
Hey, Michael.
Hello, Michael. Thank
Hi,
you for
Michael.
Being here.
Greetings.
In this now. Two more people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's
Lyra again from Hawaii. Just cut out. Sorry.
Welcome back from Hawaii, and I hear Chris there. How are you doing, Chris?
Hey, how's it going? Nice. Good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And John,
so I am going to...
Is that Wynn?
What happened with that? Hi,
all right,
did we lose you?
The entry and exit signs are turned off, so we won't hear further phone lines come in. It is 10:05. We are live on BBS, and those who just came in at BBS Radio, thank you so much for being here. The more people, the bigger fun. And I would say let's get it going, Wynn.
We are ready. Okay.
Eyes is ready, so everyone's up.
See here.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning. This is 10:06 on a day today. Today is Sunday.
September 1st.
September 1st. Is this the official Labor Day holiday?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Happy Labor Day.
I did mute the line, Jevin.
You did?
Yes.
Thank you.
But I can imagine everybody saying, back to you, Happy Labor Day.
All right. Okay. So, Carla's not going to be on today.
I think, is Carla on?
I don't think so. No, she told me this. You know, once a year, Carla has
Homecoming.
Her homecoming. And this is her weekend for her homecoming. And she, you know, invites people to her home, Kentucky. And so she's not on. She forgot earlier in the week. Did I start the recording? I did start the recording.
Yes.
I'm still not quite here yet. I'm still getting my energies together. And we had a great session yesterday, I thought. And it was different. It was a different kind of session. You know when we do things, when I do things anyway, it's always an adventure. It's not quite knowing how it's going to turn out or what's going to happen. But I might have a general idea. And I would say that the session we did yesterday was different than anything we've ever done before. Because somebody described it. When they described it, said, that's it, that's right. It was kind of like a round table. Somebody would bring up the issue they're working with, and then I would make a comment, then a source would make a comment, and they would correct me, and they said, well, our point of view is this. And we'll kind of go back and forth, but we would really go deeply into someone's issue. And by the time we were finished, it felt like there was a lot of clarity for people. And of course, people were talking about issues that we all have. It's not just, in most cases, none of our issues are unique. If you have it, there's probably 10 million people that have it, or at least 2 million. And maybe more, because we think we're alone in our issues. We think so, but we're not, because everyone goes through the same thing. And we may not all go through it at the same time. Some people go through something at one point, and then somebody else might have gone through it two lifetimes ago. But eventually, we're going through the same things. And now, with the shift upon us, we're kind of on a crash course to go through stuff. Because this is a bigger, at least as I understand it, this is a way bigger, how can I say it? It's so important to get certain things together this lifetime, and the kind of an urgency to it, because this is not like other lifetimes, I don't think. I think everything says it's different, and there's going to be a division of souls and all that stuff, so, you know, there's this stuff about whether you're going to graduate this realm or not, and it's not that it's hard to graduate, you just need to have an open heart. And we've explained that many, many times, how that works, that the Earth is moving into a new paradigm, and the Earth is going to be a fourth chakra planet or higher, and in order for your energy field to fit into this upgraded Earth, your heart has to be open. And when we talk about an open heart, we're not talking about being a nice person. It's an energy. It's an energy that radiates from your heart. And on these calls, we're making a reference point to how that energy can feel. And so it's kind of a training center. But there's no teach and learning. There's no, like, lecturing. I guess there is, I'm talking. This isn't actually lecturing, is it? It's not lecturing, it's from Sherry, and that in the course of this call, there's unusual energies that come present. They're on the call, and many people feel them. And, of course, those of you that have been paying attention for a while, we have this idea. When I try to use my vocabulary, so when we're talking about things that we don't know directly, we can't validate directly, we can't see it, we have to kind of second guess it, say, you know, be detectives. Okay, I felt that. And then there's this voice that spoke through Terry and said, we're touching each and every one of you that wants to be touched. Now, could that thing that you felt have been them touching you? Can't prove that, you see? So then you have to consider it. Then you come back again and you say, I feel something. And then they'll say, that was us touching you. We're looking at you. And then you have a dream and you see something in a dream and it was unusual and it felt really uplifting. And you say, I wonder what that was. And then some people ask about it, and they say, that was us who were in your dream, or that was this. And so you have to watch this for a while and be your own detective and decide maybe this is right. Now, if I told you not to do that, then we'd have a fundamentalist religion. And I'd say, believe. There's God speaking to us. And once you start believing in something, you invariably bypass experience. Because you don't need experience anymore. You've got faith. And I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with faith. In fact, even here, in the context of this work, there's an aspect of faith. And what is the aspect of faith? It's not the end result. It's kind of a middle stage, because people will be checking us out. They hear about us, and they say, I wonder what's going on there. And they have enough faith to show up. And then they have enough faith to come back. And maybe they come back for quite some time. And eventually, either they have an experience or they go somewhere else. Because I don't tell people, you can stay here on faith. You can't. I'm not going to say one way or another. But too many people are having an experience that they just know that it's real. And you can't take that away. It's not based on faith anymore. So, you know, anyone who's listening that's new, we have a lot of material for you to evaluate. We have a lot of material available for free on the spiritchannel.net of past conference calls. And just go at your own pace, or as fast as you want. I would suggest go faster than your own pace, because if this is correct, this is a really good thing to integrate fast, because some people are saying time is short on this planet. That doesn't necessarily mean the planet is going to blow up, but it might mean that there's some point in the near future meaning 4 years, 5 years, this may or not be the case, but that the life breaks down from what it is right now. Many people are saying, how can the economy go on? How can the environment go on? There's a lot of variables out there. And then you add a couple of earthquakes to the mix. And then you add potential war to the mix. And so it's a fairly quick window of getting stuff together. And in other times, we've had lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So now, there's a lot of people are looking at those things that I just said. A lot of people. And a lot of people are trying to create new systems that will fit into or replace the old paradigm. And when we talk about the old paradigm being replaced, it doesn't even mean that there are negative people that are causing all of this. There's aspects of it that look like it's beyond anyone's control. Now, there is a lot of areas where people are attempting to exert control, but actually, this is beyond control. I mean, the dollar has become worthless on the world economy. We know that there seems to be people with agendas and power that don't really care about us. But they seem to, but they don't. People still think they do. Michael Jackson wrote a song. He said, they don't care about us. And so there's environmental issues. There's, God, so many things. But things have got to change. And either they're going to change in such a way that there's going to be some kind of new paradigm of understanding things and relating and people coming in with new ideas of how to interface with each other. And because the old way is not going, doesn't look like it's going to endure. And you don't need to be spiritual to know that. You don't need to be a scientist to know that. You can just read the newspaper every day and read in between the lines. And, of course, if you're on the Internet, there are many, many things on the Internet if you look for them. Never before in the history of mankind has there been so much information at your fingertips. I mean, in the old days, the best we could do was go to the library. And you'd have to do a lot of research to find the right book. I don't know if you guys have discovered this, but there's an amazing thing on the Internet with Google that if you type in any question, you'll get an answer. I've been showing this to Terry. It's like things that you would think you needed an expert for. Like your computer comes up with a funny thing that says module XYZ34572 has broken down. And, you know, if that came up at one point, you'd say, what is module blah, 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 blah? And then you go on Google and you say, module 34572 has broken down, and you'll get about 100 pages explaining about that, you know? Or, where do I find fish stew in Los Angeles? And if anyone has fish stew in Los Angeles, it'll come up. Or, there's a really handy site, if you've never discovered it, is called Yelp.com. Y-E-L-P.com. And Yelp lists every kind of business you can think of in the city. And so if you're in a city and you need a car mechanic, you just look up car mechanic Santa Monica. And you'll get all these listings of car mechanics, but they'll all be rated because people put in ratings for them, and they put in reviews, like, Jack the mechanic can fix my car like a blast. He knows he can diagnose things. He's the best I ever met. Or, don't go here, they overprice. People just put in reviews, and they're available on Yelp. So if you're looking for somebody or something, or a dentist, or anything, or a good restaurant, a Chinese restaurant, you just put the name of the city, you put what you're looking for, a Chinese restaurant, and it'll spit out a bunch of Chinese restaurants with everyone's reviews on them. And so it's easier to make better choices right now. And, you know, the more people can operate under the law of one, the more they can see each other in each other, the more they can... See, this is a funny paradox, because on one hand, there is what's called the NWO, the New World Order, which says we would like to establish one government. Because on the surface, that might seem like a good thing, one government controlling our planet. And if everything was perfect and everything was benevolent, that one government would be having access to the resources so they could share resources from one country to another country where, you know, there was balancing it out. And the problem is, if you take one NWO, New World Order, you know what this you know what New World Order spelled backwards is? O-W-N, own. And there's a lot of indications that this NWO would be wanting to enslave people. And in fact, to a certain degree, we're enslaved right now. And many people don't know it. You know, the best way to handle being enslaved is to program you so you have the illusion that you're not enslaved, that you're free. But are you really free? Do you have enough money? Do you feel like not good about yourself because your money is low? Your self-worth is pinched. Where is freedom when you don't have money and you have to do two jobs? Is that by intention or is that just the way things flow? Did you ever notice, I noticed this, paid attention, that years and years ago, our country had the best educational system on the planet, the best public educational system. And over the years, our educational system has really failed. It's really gone down the tubes. And why is that? Why is it that there's enough money to spend trillions of dollars going into the Middle East on a whim, on a whim of an idea that somebody has weapons of mass destruction, and then go in and bomb that country and then find out they didn't have weapons of mass destruction, and even to publicly announce that, and to just hardly say you're sorry, not make any reparations to that country, not say, let us help rebuild the damage we did, but just like it didn't happen. And you know what? The people move right along with that. They shrug their shoulders, and no one, there's not even an outcry. You know, where is the responsibility to go into a country and then leave it in shambles and say, oops, we made a mistake? And you know, there's a possibility that's happening right now, potentially, in Syria. And I don't know how closely you all are keeping up with the news on Syria, and there's civil war going on. Now, I don't keep up with the news. I'm just making bits and pieces at the end. There's a civil war going on. And there was an incident that happened where some people were gassed. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You pay more attention to it than I do. What's going on in Syria?
The rebels are fighting against the government, and it was said that recently there was some gas attacks, and 1,200 people were killed, and the international law is that you can't use gas, and so Terry came back from Syria and said that the government over there in Syria had used gas, and that we needed to stop the government from and to take the government out of power or something to attack them back so that they won't use gas. However, there is a rebel group over there that took responsibility for that and said that they were given by a prince in Saudi Arabia, they were given a whole bunch of weapons, and they didn't know what they were or how to use them. And they were carrying them, and there were canisters and stuff. And they went off, they exploded, and they were supposed to take them to an Al-Qaeda Connect group. But they exploded, the rebels took responsibility for it. He said they didn't know how to use these things. So there's this big controversy about whether we should go in based upon the fact that the reports said it was the Syrian government that did it. I'm really hoping that we don't go in there myself. The Russians are sending warships down there, and we've got 4 warships over there ready to attack with cruise missiles. And Russia said, don't do it. So it could be a big deal. And President Obama announced that he's going to have Congress take a look at that and vote on whether we should go in or not. So that's the latest that I've heard.
Well, that's a positive, because previously he was saying he wasn't going to do that. He could just declare that we could go in, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what's happened in the other Middle Eastern countries. There was never any act of war declared, right?
Yeah, we just go in and start bombing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't hardly talk about politics on our Sunday call, except this is a serious situation, and we're going to put it in the light today. And so I wanted to make sure that you all knew what we're putting in the light and how important it is. because if we go in, basically, we're threatening to go in and bomb Syria on hearsay. There's no proof that they did what they did. They were saying they did. And we have made huge mistakes in the past going in on these things on hearsay. And there's even the rebel groups who are taking credit for it, which means that they did it. The official story is not correct, that the president of Syria didn't do it.
And the president of Syria says he didn't do it.
And he says he didn't do it, you know? And I'm not sure it makes sense. You know, you can reverse engineer something and say, why would that guy do that? What does he have to gain from it? And I don't know if he can find anything that he has to gain. Certainly, a lot of bad press in the world and the threat of being attacked. Why would he do something like that? But in any case, Syria is saying if they get attacked, they're going to attack Israel. Russia's going to come to their defense. China's going to come to their defense. If Israel gets attacked, if anyone sends missiles to Israel, they're going to attack back. And, you know, the negative sources in the world on this planet understand that there's a lot of prophecies about the Middle East being the beginning of Armageddon. And one of the things that I get is that there are long-range plans made in prophecy by the negative. Prophecy, if you notice with our sources, there's a pretty consistent point of view that they don't make prophecy. Anything can change. The fact that we gather here together, the fact that you all are on this line right now, the fact that we are sending energy for certain transformations means things can go differently because we are here. And now Terry has a friend who is, I guess he would call himself a mystic, and Terry talks to him regularly, and he tunes in, and he said something to Terry. You know, he's never really taken an active role in paying attention to the work we're doing, but he's very sensitive. And he told Terry, I can sense that you're making a difference in the world. I can feel it. What did he say, Terry? How did he say it?
He said, I can feel... I can start to feel the impact of your work on the world.
Yeah. So we have an energy here, a group energy, that is making a tiny ding in the consensus reality with just a really small group. But it's small, but it's strong. It's strong because we are calling on really big groups, and they're coming to the front and center. And when we put energies, intentions, prayers, whatever you want to call them, they add to them. And that makes everything leveraged, highly leveraged. It would be like the Elohim, it would said, like riding a bicycle. It's one of the really good images. Riding a bicycle, and you turn the pedals, and the energy is transferred through the chain to the rear wheel of the bicycle, and it's amplified. So with no bicycle, you have to walk everywhere. Everything is slow. But the bicycle is like amplifying your impact. So everything happens faster. So we are leveraging ourselves on these calls. We're leveraging ourselves in our own personal advancement. Many of you are getting that. Things are speeding up. You are learning things faster. You're moving into places that used to be obstacles, and they're no longer obstacles. And some of you say, geez, he's right. You know, I've been on these calls for a year. You don't even realize something has shifted. And so this is like a new shift mechanism that's happening that it could change the planet. It could. It's certainly going to change a bunch of individual lives. We've already seen it change, how would we say it, things on the planet that were going in a certain direction that switched directions. Like on one of our Sunday calls, if you happen to have been here, it's a couple of years ago, suddenly we put a hurricane in the light, and it suddenly dropped intensity tremendously, and unexpectedly, and miraculously. And I don't know if we did that, but it was an unusual correspondence. So there is strength and power in this, and that it's important that it reach more people. And so we're working on that. And you guys are helping, so thank you. And we're here today because there's been lots of people that volunteered their time over the past years because we have like a mini corporation going here with so many people volunteering that are putting the transcripts up and that are keeping the website going. You know, give special commendation to Gary in Redondo Beach, and Bogdan, who just retired, who was put up the Spirit Channel website, and Connie, who did a lot of the raw transcripts, and Hise, who's been coming to the calls for a few years and just started showing up and saying hello to people. And there's so many people. Susan Rush, who's doing the transcripts. And you know what? They're getting that it's working, that people's lives are changing. And so each one is doing a little bit. And, you know, when you connect with what you're doing, it creates the motivation. We've been showing up on these calls for years now, even when there were like 10 people on the call. And when you see someone change as a result of something that you contributed, there's a connection made in your mind that you did something. This is important. You know, when you can actually, most of the time, for many of us, we can only appreciate change that directly is in our life. In other words, if I give somebody $5 and they say, thank you, I'm so appreciative, that was, you know, a lot of physical exchange there. I gave them $5 and they said, thank you. Or many situations like that, where there's some kind of reciprocation. But when you do something that impacts a stranger. And we do get thank yous, and people send us emails. But when we have actually contributed to a stranger that we don't know, that we didn't hear them say thank you, and some of you listening right now fit under this category, and yet your life is changing as a result of paying attention to this work. And when I connect with that, in order to connect with it, I actually have to move into the law of one. Because when I say there's no reciprocation, I should reword that a little bit, because we do get emails from people. People do make donations. We do know people appreciate the work we're doing. But the connection and the length of time we've been doing it to the point where we've gotten those results, we just got a tiny bit of results. It's like I recognize that when I'm doing things of that long-range kind of vision, trajectory, when I'm doing that, it moves my soul into a high place of creation, of a high vantage point, as opposed to, here's $5, thank you. That is the immediate vantage point. But these trajectories project into the future. And the results are too far away from the action. So you can't operate for the results. You can't give somebody $5 and say, well, let me wait for the thank you. You're projecting too far. You have to keep the projection without worrying about the thank yous and the results. And then over the long run, you start to see that it works. And I always think that if I'm learning something, there's something in it for you as well, that one of the harder things in life is to give without response. And this is the basis of unconditional love. Unconditional love doesn't require a response. It doesn't require someone to do something. It doesn't require them to say thank you. It doesn't require them to even know what you're doing. And because you didn't do it, because someone clapped, or someone said, you're wonderful for doing that. You did it on a higher knowing, on a contribution to the universe. And when you start doing actions that contribute to the universe, as opposed to the things that bring immediate response. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the immediate response things. It's always a pleasure to have immediate response. It's always, pleasure to have companionship and friends and whatever. But when you can do certain things that you don't have immediate response from, where the connection to the response is too far off, then you're operating and building a different kind of muscle. There you're laying a foundation for moving and living in other timelines, because this timeline operates best when there's immediate gratification. And you start doing things that don't have immediate gratification, And it takes a certain degree of self-discipline to actually even do them. Because part of you wants the gratification, the results, wants the thank you, wants the money, wants I do this, you do that. And all that stuff keeps you in the world. Now, I'm not saying to stop doing that stuff, because you're in the world and you can't be in the world without doing that stuff. But to be able to do things that have a long-range projection and that the response is nothing less than changing people's souls and their directions and contributing to them. And, you know, I've been thinking about this. What can people do that has that? And now we have something. It's still under a testing program. But I made what I call these little thumb cards. And the little business cards that invite people to our Sunday call. And that the idea is that you can leave these cards anywhere. You can put them on a table. You can put them in a coffee shop. You can hand them to a stranger. You can say, check out this call. And you see, that's the kind of action that can have huge, huge synchronicities involved, connected to it, without any immediate gratification. In other words, you go lay card here, you lay card there. 6 months later, you'll be on a call. You'll find that there's 3 people on the call, 4 people on the call that are there because you left a card somewhere. And think about that. See, no immediate gratification, but yet people that are coming into these calls, many of them, I think, are having great, great life transformation events. And suddenly, 6 months down the road, you find that there's some people on the call that picked up a card that you left in a laundromat. And suddenly, something will click because you become responsible for the change you create in other people. That works for the good and the bad. That's karma. You become responsible for the change you create in other people. I'll give you an example of that. Let me see here. An example would be suicide. And somebody was talking about the karmic implications of suicide. Because I've learned that, in general, suicide is considered not a good thing to do. And karmically, it's not a good thing to do. And one of the reasons that suicide is not a good thing to do is because if you do it, then you leave other people hurt and abandoned because you committed suicide. You become responsible for those feelings of hurt and abandonment of other people. And then that responsibility leads to karma. And you have to come back and balance the action. So the suicide didn't really get you advanced anywhere. And so karma is, I remember Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God, had said that if you want to change something, change it for someone else, and it has to change for yourself as well. And how does that work in principle? Well, if you're feeling sad, and if you can make someone else feel happy, if you
can make them laugh, if you can tell a joke and someone else laughs, immediately the karma of the laugh comes back to you, and you've lifted your own spirits. So it's a very interesting principle that whatever you create in someone else comes back to you. Whatever you create in someone else comes back to you. So, what do you want to create in another person? Of course, if you consider yourself positive service to others, you want to lift the vibration. You want to give people something that changes their life, that takes them out of their woe. A lot of woe in this world. And what is it that you can do? Well, basically, as you have changed in this work, those of you that have been paying attention can monitor your own changes over a period of time. And you're not blind believers, you're not followers. You've been showing up and you have been watching how something changes inside you, how this works, how the moving into other timelines works, how karma starts falling away. You've been feeling a sense of great value and worth because you come to these Sunday calls, and you know, if you, even if you're not doing anything else, being on this call makes a difference. And you know you're making a difference. You're getting stuff for yourself. You get to feel good, the energy lifts, but you are making a difference in a bigger way. And that bigger way of making a difference, it doesn't have the immediate rewards. It doesn't have the applause. It doesn't have the here's $5, thank you. There's a long-range benefit. And you're coming because you've tapped into the fact that there is a long-range benefit, not just for yourself, but for this planet. And this is how something new gets established. It was Margaret Mead who said, it's a small group of people that can change the world. Many, many people talk about how important love is. But the amazing thing is, love is on this line. It's on this line in a way that you can feel it and that I can feel it. And that connection is on this line. And that wisdom is on this line. And support is on this line. And that's pretty damn good for a telephone line, right? It's like no buildings, no structure, just a telephone line. And all that is here. And there's more. The tools for changing our planet are on this line. Opportunities for you to make contribution are on this line. Opportunities that otherwise you'd never figure out, many of you, how to do that. And I don't know if you step back and looked at that. Opportunities to share something with other people that can change their lives. And if the work we talk about graduating this realm is correct, it's the opportunity to have what you need, to learn what you need, to graduate this realm. And all of those things are here. And because of modern technology, we're giving them, by and large, for free. You know, in the past, if there was somebody that had the experience that I had, and they said this is important to share with people, they'd have to have a building. They'd have, you know, it turns in immediately, I guess, unless they meet in the woods, they need a building. They need for money. And, of course, we need money. You can't escape that. It's a lower level of this realm that will always be here. And, but if we look at how many people we're influencing compared to how much money we're spending, it's quite amazing. And that's one of the great benefits of technology, that it's possible to reach a lot of people with not much resources, but just a lot of enthusiasm and passion. And that moves through the internet. People get it. And it moves through your life. And the people around you get it. And so, on that note, I'm going to start off with our personal healing session and move to the planetary healing session with a message from Terry in between, and I want to spend some time to see if we can't contribute something positive to the energies in Syria, which are so volatile right at this moment. So the idea is that if we go deep enough, if we go high enough, the universe is one being, just like our bodies are composed of billions of cells, all making up one being, which is us. And we are little cells in the body of God, or the universe. It's interesting how cells and souls are so similar, and that cells that make up your body and souls that make up the body of the one infinite creator. But we normally feel isolated and alone. And on these calls, there's a magic that happens where those feelings of aloneness and separation dissipate in a very real way, where a bunch of, on the surface, strangers that don't even see each other can feel this sense of closeness, of camaraderie. And that is the law of one, that in truth, we are all the same energy expressed in all the unique ways that we have our individualities. And so this is the duality. You've heard the word duality. Duality is where two opposite principles can exist at the same time. And this is the ultimate duality principle, because each of us is totally separate. Each of us is occupying our own body. Each of us has our own bank account. Each of us is individual. And simultaneously, each of us is the same. And you have to go through some multitude of dimensions. Multitude, I don't know if that's the right word, but some degree of dimensions. Because we're existing in a matrix, and there are multiple timelines connecting us not our bodies, but our energies. Now, there we go into an area. How do I know I'm an energy? Well, it's something you're going to have to come to by your own personal exploration. But I am sure that I'm an energy that's occupying a body. And that energy doesn't have... Your body has very fine, rigid lines. Like where your skin stops, the air starts. Your energy does not have fine lines. Your energy expands, contracts all the time, depending on who you're with, what you're thinking. And on this call, our energies are going to expand. They're going to expand to as far as you can imagine. We start out with the energy of the Earth. The Earth itself is just as alive as we are. It has awareness. It has trajectories in the future. It has an energy field around it. It is part of the law of one. And the energy of the Earth moves through everyone's floor right now, no matter where you are on our planet, in the world. The Earth's energy is moving under you. And we can have that energy move through our body in a way that we can be aware of it. Can you feel it tingling in your feet? Say hello to the Earth. We bring that energy through our feet, through our legs, and our calves, our solar plexus, and our chest. And our neck, and our head. So it's a finger of energy connecting the Earth to our bodies. Up through the top of our head. Into the space above us. And we keep moving. We move through up to our ceiling. Through our ceiling, either into the sky or into the rooms above you, but keep moving till you hit the roof. And we go through the roof, and we go into the clouds. We keep going, we go through the veil. What's the veil? The veil is an energy around our planet that keeps us all contained, keeps our energies contracted here. We're moving through it. We move through the veil. We move higher. We're moving through space and time. We're moving through planets. can we really move through planets? You know, there's multi-millions of people that believe in astrology, and including me. And I know that the planets can move through us, we can move through them. We're all carrying a solar system in our DNA. It's a microcosm. Well, as we keep moving through all these dimensions, all this space, we come to a place where we are one. This is that place I was mentioning where we can be all separate in our separate bodies and simultaneously be all one energy. And did you notice a shift when I said that? I did. I know some of you noticed it. The energy got more refined. Well, let's silently say, I love you to everyone on this line. Because they are making it possible for you to have this experience, and vice versa. Now, let us invite our sources to come into this connection. Remember, we're operating in the law of one. The law of one says it's all one energy. So we're affiliating with each other. There's no hierarchy. There's no bosses. There's free will. And everyone who participates does it from their free will. From you, from me, and our sources. We're not all equal. We all have different reaches, energies. The interesting thing is that at one time, some of us might have been them. Some of them might have been us. It's like we're all just in different timelines going through what we go through. But in the truth of it, we're all one. But do we want to live totally in the truth of being all one? Probably not, because then the separation disappears. The awareness of being separate disappears. see why we've chosen to have that experience? We've chosen it. So now we have a conglomerate. We have us, them, the earth, and we are voluntarily coming together to be one. And so, while we're in this space of oneness, we have access to each other. We have access to our sources. And, you know, there's part of us who is separated that has defects. We all have defects in this separation. Now we're accessing energies that aren't defective, where we have defects. And we experience those energies working with us and healing us. And since we're all one, our thoughts that go into this pool of energy are no longer our thoughts. We originated them, but now they're in this conglomerate energy field. And if a number of people have the same thought, the field starts to recreate reality according to those group thoughts. This is the power we have. This is what we're learning. So while we're in this state of conglomeration, let's put thoughts in our mind that we would like to see manifest in the shift for healing, for yourself, for someone else, for abundance. See, how it works is you put a thought into this group energy, and that thought then establishes itself as a point of creation. And then you go out in the world, you sit down next to a stranger who had another thought that was in the group energy, not even in our group. You don't have to be in this group to participate in this. And then suddenly, two of you made a apparently random decision, sit down in a Starbucks, and it was just the person you're looking for, and vice versa. So it's a combination of putting group thoughts and intents into this group energy, and then taking an action that allows for randomness, that allows for spontaneous connection, and seeing if that thought can turn into a person, or an opportunity, or a healing.
So, right now, put your thoughts in. And in this group, on this Sunday session we're doing, we are working with a rule of one, which means we are asking for the highest good of all concerned, and we are honoring free will. While you're putting things into this energy field, think about pedaling a bicycle right in your mind, and that the chain extends up to the Elohim and the Ra group. Now, there's some of you that have put requests onto our list here. You don't have to do that. You can just think it. For those of you who did that, we're going to go through it right now. We have Cecil, that's your wife, Betty, and the way, the healing of her kidneys. He is in Washington. Puts himself to the light for the healing of his bronchitis. And then we have Al in Alabama. Asking for the Elohim to continue to unstick geometric karmic patterns for her. Remember, they can't violate her free will. So, if you get her to ask, even in the least bit of a way, it opens a lot more possibilities. Teresa, she's singing and songwriting in the light. And support for her new album. Something they heard Teresa say. Flying. Lise in Rimrock. All her chakras spinning fully in the correct ways and directions. Complete and total cure. Intestines, colon, liver, bladder, reproductive system. Bones, joints, muscles, nervous system, glands in the system, and immune system, and every single cell and enzyme, healthy chemical pathway in her body. Remember, every time we grant these things to someone else, we grant them to ourselves. Diane
Living Grove, New York. Killing tour girls. Possum Sweet Bee, Phoebe, Molly, and Emmy. And her boys, the OG, Punctually. Diane, you have picked really great names for your children. Love and healing and protection. All of the beings on the planet that are being affected by the changes taking place at this time. Terry in Missouri. Entertaining thoughts of difficulty being in the physical realm. His children depend on her. So we put in her light her feelings of finding a reason to be here and some joy in this realm. We have Rick in Iowa City. Her brother, law, Mike, Texas, simply related to his bone cancer and spread throughout his body. And said to be charming. Thank you for the advice. Good. Mike, if you hear this, send me an email. I have. You know what? Thanks for question. Oh no, that was Rick for his brother. Rick, especially for this guy.
When you get really faint and there's a humming.
Who is that saying that? Hello? Hello? Is that better? Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, better.
It's better, okay. Rick, just send me an email about that. I'll give you a reference. Pat in Alabama. Sending love lights to her beautiful daughter. Who is having trouble transmuting karma between herself and this man who would use her. Hey, Pat, just remember, she's choosing her experience. So just send her love light for the highest good and don't try to define her experience for her. She has to choose that. And then we have Rick again in Iowa City. To his mother-in-law in the hospital dealing with her blood pressure. And then Tammy in Playa del Rey. To her grandfather who passed on yesterday on the other side. And Susan in Michigan. Putting into the light the traumas that my adopted children have experienced and the hope they are released from their beings. Just remember, when you're around people that are going through trauma, dysfunctions, put the thought in your mind to hold your energy above all of that. Don't let it bring your energy into a place of matching their energy, because people learn from your energy. Your children learn. And
since the chances are there's areas where you have trauma and they can be triggering your trauma, to try to rise above that so that you can set a template for them that allows them to move above those areas. We're going to call in the light and get a message from our sources. And I want to particularly, we're going to do it again in the planetary session, but right at this moment, I want to put Syria in the light. I want to put everyone connected to Syria, everyone holding energy in the light, and that those thoughts can be directed towards peace, towards the highest good of all concerned, towards compassion, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now, and I leave the space for our sources to come in with their message for us this Sunday.
This is Ra On, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here this first day of September 2013 and are available to each and every one of you that would like to experience connection with us. We are a free will agency, so you need to ask, you need to desire to make connection. Asking does not mean that you have to say it in words. You can say it by intention, by desire, the desire to connect. It is like the completion of a circuit, to know that there is a home base, that you are loved, that you are cared for, that you can dip into or connect to if you desire. And we take a look at the things that you have put in the light, the things that you would desire. There are many people praying for Syria and the situation in Syria that can be amicably resolved. Much of what happens is created, and it is not known that it is, or thought of that it is created. It is thought that they happened accidentally. However much is created, we place in the area of thought the potential that those responsible for actions in the Mideast can consider the highest good of all and can consider free will and can consider that they may not have the exact information and to be very careful on what they base their actions on, that they do have the right information and to look beyond what appears to be the right information. We take a moment and send peace to the area. And we thank all of those in positions of power who are taking careful consideration before they do any action. We are aware of the things that you are putting in the light and aware of your great desires to make things go right for you and your loved ones and your family. This desire goes a long way towards the righting of things, the making things right, the healing of things. And we send the light to see servant Cecil for you and your wife. And we take a moment and for Tammy, we take a look and we see that your grandfather is still around and you can simply talk to him as if he were there and just let him know that he is thought, but he is not held. Is not bound, and he is free, and his contract with the body is completed, and now he is free to transition to something else and give him the love, and he will get it. We see that many on earth are looking to their minds for the solution of problems. And sometimes their mind contains a circuit and the thoughts go round in a circuit. I have to remember to get the mail. I have to remember to pick up the sugar. And their mind goes round. And then it acts like mind chatter when they try to meditate. These thoughts come in, and it is hard to clear the mind. One of the ways to help to clear the mind is to move into the heart chakra and sense the peace, the love, the centering. Sense the connection with others, the love, and the details of the mind chatter as you refocus onto the heart chakra can dissipate, and you can come from center, from the now, and you can take the actions that are in the highest good. As it is more clear when you are coming from the heart chakra. And all the rest of you that have put things in the light, whether you have stated it or not, just move into your heart chakra and see, envision the healing for yourself for the family, for the betterment of the connection within the family. Just picture the connection getting better with the children. Connect with love. When you are considering something you disagree with that the children are doing, connect with love, because love can be a bridge. Understand that them talk, see where they are coming from. And then they will be more open to see where you are coming from. We love each and every one of you. And it is we are honored, and it is with profound thanks that we let you know that we appreciate this opportunity to be with you and to be connected with those that wish connection. We leave, but we do not leave.
There we go. My mute was unmuting. All right, let us now keep rolling right into our group energy and our putting thoughts into this pool of energy, which is connected to the universe, which is connected to the collective of our planet. And we look at our planet from above, from a perspective of an energy, and see the beautiful planet and see the energy around it. And the energy has dark spots in it. It's the energy produced by all the humans on the planet. It has dark spots because there's dark humans. And they're not bad. They're just manipulative, and their energy goes into the energy of the Earth. So, for the moment, we're going to do like cosmic acupuncture as we take our group energy and move it in to surround our planet. And all those areas of dark energy, we're going to flow around them. We're not going to be confronted by them. We're not going to challenge them. We're just going to be like an ocean. Flows around it. So it gets to the Earth.
Faded out.
Oh, we're not talking.
Oh.
Thank you. We're in a contemplative energy expanding space. And we're moving our energy around the planet. We're moving our energy around the planet in a great loving pink cloud. Moving close to the planet, moving into the oceans, moving through all those channels that are open, where
energy can flow. We are surrounding every city, every power structure, every government, every decision-making apparatus, and we send light for compassion for those people that have the potential. We move in back light.
Pardon me?
Back away from the mic a little bit.
We move this energy into the grassroots, outside of everyone's vision. There are little groups forming all over our planet, like tiny, tiny modules starting to meet each other. They're interfacing. They're creating a potential for a new paradigm, for a new reality. It's coming up like seeds, like sprouts everywhere. There's all those indigo and crystal children. Many of them, or some of them, are starting to hold this new vision. It's a web work, a web that's got filaments. And we are all filaments connecting with each other on this line. And you're all filaments going into your life, connecting with your life. And we're weaving these filaments. We are weaving. They're anchoring this light from afar. And we in particular now move this energy. You notice that we can move it. It's an energy that we can focus, we can disperse it, we can center it around the earth, we can point it in a direction, we can stand in the middle of it, and it goes to Syria. We see it hanging over Syria. We see it bringing balance, sanity to the situation. We just ask for the highest good that it can be resolved peacefully. And when you take a situation like Syria apart, there's a lot of agendas going on that we can't see. But we can send our light into all those agendas for the highest good and for peaceful resolution. And let's move to South America. Every week we do the Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire is the land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean. And that it is the most volatile earthquake area on our planet. And we've already seen a number of earthquakes. Chile, Japan. So we're going to take this energy that we've created, see it like a laser beam pointed to the coastline, penetrating through the coastline underneath the ground and striking in a soft, gentle way the tectonic plates which start earthquakes. And we see it, a laser beam at the tip of South America, moving up the west coast of South America, moving up through Mexico. Moving up through California. Moving up through San Diego, Los Angeles. Remember, we're visualizing a laser beam going through the ground into the underground where there are plates, tectonic plates, that when they disassociate from each other, start an earthquake. So we're sending WD-40, etheric WD-40, to all of those plates. We move up to San Francisco, through Marin County, up the coast, Mendocino, to Oregon, to Portland, to Washington, to Seattle, to Mount Hood, to Mount Rainier, to Vancouver, and up the west coast of Canada, across to Alaska, and down the east coast of Russia. To China. To Singapore. To Hong Kong. To Indonesia. To Japan. We surround the Fukushima, number 4, nuclear plant. We ask for the dissipation of radiation quickly and safely. We go to New Zealand, Australia, and Hawaii. And we move our energy projecting mechanism to the middle of the country, and we do the same thing on the New Madrid fault, starting from St. Louis and the four states surrounding Missouri, and we go to the Atlantic Fault outside of the East Coast. And again, we have the same energy projection. To project WD-40 on the tectonic plates. Etheric WD-40. And we go to the Canary Islands. We'll go to every place in the world that has earthquake potential. And we send this light to them for balance. We ask for rain. Many areas of our planet are having a drought right now. And people need food. We ask for rain. So that we can have crops. Speaking slowly. And let's ask for interventions for the highest good of all concerned. We would like to ask that no nuclear weapons be allowed to go off on our planet. We ask that all unnatural ways of impacting our health and our well-being be locked in some way if they violate our free will. Things that go into our food, into the skies, into frequencies. We ask for molecular redistribution at whatever level is possible to make things safe. You know, those of you that know my story, know the story of my sister, whose lupus went away. And when I asked them how they did it, they said they put a filter into her blood and took the lupus out. Think how profound that is. An intelligence that's operating in between the cracks. It can become so microscopically small that they can filter lupus out of a bloodstream. And that they honor free will and they request to be asked. So we ask right now for those interventions that keep our planet safe. And those people who are reaching for truth and connection, time. Remember, we can't fix the planet because you can't change people who want to be negative. They have a right to be negative. They have the right to their free will. You can't change all that. We have to find spaces in between those things where change is possible. And on that note, I want to thank all of you for being here. I want to thank Hayes and everyone who's volunteering. And we're going to bring this session to a close.